Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Cannabis Minority Report podcast. It is NCIA's platform for our golden majority, aka minority voices in the industry. So I am your host for season 4, Mike Lomuto. I'm the DEI manager here at the National Cannabis Industry Association. And we've been creating a lot of great DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion platforms here within NCIA. Each week, we will be interviewing an inspiring entrepreneur or cannabispreneur of color and report on the news, either with stories specific to DEI in our industry or on hot button mainstream issues, and providing our unique spin on it, of course. So also, we're going to roll out a litany of co-hosts. We'll have a rotating group of co-hosts that you'll see on with me every week. Not everybody the same week, of course. That's what makes it rotating. And so we have a lot of great interviews lined up. Today's interview I'm really excited for, and we have a lot of great interviews coming up the rest of this month as well as next month as well. We've got a great calendar of events for you. But today we have Chris Jackson, the vice chair of NCIA's board, as well as the owner of the Basketball League's Oakland County Pharaohs based in Lansing, Michigan. So we'll come back with a great, a more proper introduction of Chris in just a little bit. But first, we're going to go ahead and go with the news segment. So for the news today, I've got a couple stories here for you, and then some really, I think, interesting and unique news that is going to be what shows and makes our podcast a little bit different here. So the first couple of news stories. First, we have the making headlines. The firearms and cannabis. Some of you have probably already seen this making headlines in the news. A federal judge in Oklahoma ruled that it was unconstitutional for marijuana users to basically be denied the right to own a firearm. The quote I have here, government could not argue Jared Harrison's mere status as a user of marijuana justifies stripping him of his fundamental right to possess a firearm. The judge said the marijuana was not in and of itself a violent, forceful, or threatening act, and noted that Oklahoma is one of a number of states where the drug, still legal under federal law, can be legally bought for medical uses. So we're also expecting the Justice Department to appeal this, and this does stem from a Supreme Court ruling. What I want to say about this, you know, without getting into the politics specifically of gun control and everything that can of worms can open up, I want to point out that this is really momentous in the sense of the cannabis movement, because we're now starting to see the intersection between cannabis and other really hot button mainstream items. We're also seeing judges in, you know, a very conservative place ruling in favor of what the industry would like to see as well, which is more rights for users of cannabis and not being stigmatized along, you know, in ways that maybe Reefer Madness would have said. I mean, I think it was really key to point out that, you know, that use of marijuana is not a violent, forceful, or threatening act. Whereas for the last 100 years in this country, we've pretty much criminalized it as if it were a violent act. And honestly, we then over-police a lot of communities because of that, right? So seeing this shift, amongst a federal judge in a conservative state, in a conservative place, I think is moving the needle. And now it's up to us as an organization and all the advocates out there to keep pushing this needle forward so that we keep having these kinds of conversations. The next story that I wanted to lead with here today, and this is keeping in line with our guest today coming from the state of Michigan, is that Michigan is now number 2. The only state that has sells more cannabis now in 2022 was California. California, of course, being a much bigger marketplace than the state of Michigan.
Right.
But Michigan is number two. Chris, you have something you want to add about this?
No, I think you just hit it on the head, actually. First of all, what's happening, man? Thanks for having me and bringing me in on the conversation. We got a lot of good things to talk about. But I think that's the point. You just mentioned it, right? California, I don't know how many times larger California is comparatively to Michigan. But for Michigan to, you know, we have a vast medical history, all things considered, related to cannabis, but not so much in an adult use capacity, right? Just recently in 2018. And so I say just recently, that was a little while ago now. But the point is, we aren't as necessarily mature as a market as some of the others are related to adult use. And really what it says, in my opinion, I think we could talk more later, but what it says, in my opinion, is that it's a consumer's market. It speaks to the free market approach in cannabis, opposed to the oligarchy approach in cannabis. And I mean, we can distinguish the two at any point, but it speaks to that and how consumers can actually be the beneficiaries. We talk a lot about businesses and their challenges or successes related to the industry, but not enough about consumers having access to the market the way that they should. And so I think Michigan, which is a joy to some and not so much to others, right, depending on where you fall, but I think Michigan is setting a good tone for being a consumer's market. Now we just need to figure out the business part of it, but I'm excited to hear that. It's a good omen.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think that you hit it on the head right there. You know, the oligarchy approach is prevalent in a lot of states, and those states have fallen behind what Michigan is doing with much more of a free market approach, which is really, I mean, we're talking about cannabis and we're talking about the United States of America. We should see more of a free market approach. I mean, I'll say that I will definitely go ahead and add commentary. So, you know, absolutely. A couple other points here I want to note. You know, aside from the fact that $2.3 billion in sales last year was a good amount of sales. And to your point, it's a newer market, only a little over a year old, maybe 2 years old, something like that, for the adult use side of things, but really a very deep medical state. Something else I want to point out is that we are seeing fewer caregivers, and that really refers to the medical side of the market, mm-hmm. Producing cannabis, since it's no longer cost effective for their patients, especially with the adult use, and prices have really halved. That said, I know that you and a lot of other folks are working on basically creating better business environments for the businesses to be able to capitalize on a larger market that is forging ahead. So just something to note, you know, is that obviously, of course, not everything is always just positive good news, but we can look at it and see that there is a lot of great news there. And we just have to be, again, vigilant and adamant in our advocacy and how we figure out how to construct things in the right way. So that said, you know, and a nod to Chris's shirt here, Black History Month, I wanted to highlight a few Black-owned businesses in the cannabis space and one of them, of course, from Michigan, actually, Falling Leaves. This is Michael Webster has been a pioneer. I'm pretty sure Chris has actually been at least one of these events, if not multiple, as showing your support, you know, in your vice chair position, but also really, you know, just being a leader in the state of Michigan. Falling Leaves, they're infused dinners. And this next one coming up is going to be February 26th, Sunday dinner. I don't know about everybody here, but Sunday dinner has been really a kind of a sacred thing for me for many years. You know, I'm not religious. It's not about the religion for me, but it's about just being able to reset every week, being able to tap in with whoever I'm spending my time with on Sunday, and really, you know, take time to pay homage to the fact that we work hard and that we have another week coming up. So Sunday dinner, it's going to be an infused dinner, and tickets and menus are available. We'll post the link here. I did look at the menu, and it makes me wish I get out to Michigan this month. Charcuterie, short ribs, trout, and there's even a vegan menu. So, you know, so this is some great news to see this happening in the state of Michigan. And really, I'm looking forward to seeing Michael bring this elsewhere.
And if you are in Michigan, I really encourage you to stop by. I've been to two of them now. So the menu keeps getting better. It's always been exquisite, right? But the menu gets better. The experience itself is one that I've grown to appreciate because it's a meet you where you are approach, which is beneficial, particularly for the folks who are just curious about it and how it could impact them, right? I'm generally not a infused edible intake person, right? I prefer the flower. So it was an experience for me, though, and they do a great job of not only explaining what you're eating, where you can find the infused portions of the meal, but throughout that process, you'll be here, then they'll break to bring you back down, right, in a responsible manner for you to then finish up over the course of 2.5 or 3 hours, right? And so it's one of those experiences where not only do you have an opportunity to eat, but you have an opportunity to really network and fellowship with the folks who are around you, because that's a good amount of time to be in a space with other people that are at different levels in life and or at different levels in terms of how they choose to partake with cannabis. And so it's a really cool experience. So if you're in Michigan, make sure you come out.
That's awesome. There we go. So, I mean, and honestly, so Vince, our show's producer, first off, shout out to Vince Chandler here. Vince has been at the helm, behind the scenes, really doing all of the groundwork to make sure that this show has been going for 4 seasons now. Amazing producer. I believe Vince is an Emmy winning producer, I want to say, of something or other. I know that he's gotten a lot of awards, and rightly so, because he does amazing work. And his work is really about advocacy and pushing the envelope in a responsible manner, not just in cannabis, but in other places as well. So really stoked to have Vince as our show's producer. And, you know, I know you guys don't get to see him firsthand, but I really appreciate working with Vince all the time.
There he goes.
All right.
It was quick. You had to be watching.
Just there and back. Awesome. So I was going to say, the reason I brought that up is...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Because Vince, maybe we can pull a clip up there and send that over to Michael Webster, because I think that was a great testimonial and speaking to what you can expect at one of these infused dinners.
So Michael will be waiting on my paycheck too. You know what that's
awesome. Nice. There you go. Okay, some royalties there. Absolutely. All right. A couple other businesses I want to make sure we highlight here. Urban Flavors. So Urban Flavors is a delivery service in Northern California. They're based in the East Bay. They also do some business, I believe. You can order from them if you're in the Central California, in the Central Valley as well. But the reason I want to highlight them today, aside from the fact, again, that it's a Black-owned business, Mario Vidal and Ladarius McKenzie are actually also new committee members at the NCIA, the DEI committee, that's Mario, and the Marketing Advertising Committee, that's Ladarius. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing this company, which I think has been building things the right way for several years now, so engaged and be such a great part of our organization. The little snippets and pieces that I get to hear from actually John Quinn, who's brought them into the fold, is this building the right way by listening to the consumer, hearing what their consumers want, really knowing how to tap into the marketplace and building slowly and steadily so that they can be sustainable and be here for the long run. Another thing that's really awesome about this company is that they're very passionate about creating pathways in the industry for formerly incarcerated folks and folks that have been impacted by the war on drugs in such a negative and disproportionate manner. And I say that to say that, look, this is a company that's actually living and doing it. They're not just, hey, we would like to do this, and then 3 years later, they might have an initiative or throw some money at another company. This is a company, if you get to know them, that they're really doing that work in the community. This is how they hire. This is who they work with. This is, who makes up the leadership team. So, it's who they are. So just a company that I want to make sure we highlight today, with respect to Black History Month, but also just honestly with respect to the industry and the direction that we'd like to see things going. And then the last company I wanted to bring up today, Shakti Green Lit. I have the pleasure of working on the New York Social Equity Roundtable. That's an initiative here at NCA where we provide feedback to public comments for the regulations in New York. And we organize with a lot of other associations and organizations that are doing this kind of work in New York. Some of them are national, some of them are local. One of these groups, Black and Brown Economic Power in Cannabis, BB Epic, was founded by and is run by a couple that I really I think are making a great impact in this industry. And they have, on the other side of things, they also have a product, and it's called Shakti Green Lit Full Spectrum Cannabis Energy Shot. It's the first full spectrum cannabis energy shot on the East Coast. You know, to throw this out here, you know, and more, he put this on his own, on the social media, so I feel comfortable stating this here, is, you know, he was charged as an adult at the age of 14 for the sale of cannabis to another minor. You know, I'm just going to say that again. This guy was at 14 years old, was charged as an adult for selling cannabis to another minor. This was very common, not only all over the country, but in New York, especially during the stop and frisk era, and even before that, before they even gave it a name. So getting to see this company now on shelves in Massachusetts, this company now, their founders doing the advocacy work. Again, this is the kind of work we need to see in this industry. This is the results that we're looking for in this industry. So it was really just awesome to see them on all these shelves in the state of Massachusetts. Looking forward to seeing them everywhere in the country. And they're all about the plant and the natural medicine aspect of that. So their products are going to reflect that. So I just want to kind of bring that up today. I think that, again, it's another great company to highlight. I will also note that none of these companies are, you know, they're not sponsoring us and trying to get us to, you know, just mention them here. This is, you know, if you are listening and watching this and you want, you know, to, you have an announcement you'd like to make, you'd like to tell us about your company, go ahead and reach out. I went ahead and pulled these, of course, from my conversations and from, you know, following LinkedIn and Instagram. But if there's anything you want to specifically have us highlight in the show, please reach out and we'll go ahead and do our best to get it on the show here. So that all said, I believe it's now time for our interview.
I want to show
conversation.
It's a conversation. All right, there we go. All right. And you know, and that's just, you know, to the point. Look, I want to introduce Chris here because Chris is somebody I've had the pleasure of working with for several years now behind the scenes at the NCIA. Chris has done a lot of just pioneering work and a lot of important work, you know, to really blaze trails here at the National Cannabis Industry Association. I met Chris, I want to say 4 years ago, but something like that by now, at an industry social that we had in Chicago. Neither of us, you know, we didn't know who each other, didn't know who each other was, anything like that. We're trying to figure our own ways out within this massive industry and the association. And, you know, several years later now, here we are continuing to work in these ways. And it's a testament to, you know, the organization and their willingness to work with us, but also to the individuals such as Chris that have been pushing that envelope and saying, hey, you know what, we need to see better representation. And it needs to be more than just nominal. It needs to be more than just, you know, on paper. There needs to be like voices in the room that are heard on a regular basis. So it becomes organic, it becomes natural. And I think that's what we've really been able to create here. And, you know, Chris, I just really appreciate getting to work with you and getting to kind of see how you operate and are able to, you know, really achieve results by doing this kind of stuff. So, Chris, you know, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us here. And I'm looking forward to, you know, having this conversation here today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's see. I got a few things here. Oh, I should also note that Chris is the owner of the Oakland County Pharaohs, based in, they were the Lansing Pharaohs last year. They now have moved to Pontiac, Chris's hometown, to be the Oakland County Pharaohs. I got to go to a game last year, and it was a really awesome experience. I had never been to it was the basketball league. So the basketball league, and I'll let Chris tell you more about this specifically, but, you know, really professional league. And just really awesome, high quality level of play in a very intimate setting. It was really an awesome experience, and we can talk more about that later. But the first thing I want to ask you, man, is you know, I haven't gotten a chance to ask you this on any of our other calls, so I figured I'd ask you this today. But you had some interesting New Year's Eve plans or New Year's plans, I think. Curious to hear about kind of how things went for you.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I generally don't do much. It's like two times a year where I'm just uber reflective, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm just like in my own head, and it's usually on my birthday and on New Year's. So, you know, made a concerted effort to get out and do something, but do different types of things. And so we ended up, going to a clue based, clue, like the board game based murder mystery dinner, which was dope, right? I would never imagine that I would do something like that. Everybody had to dress in kind, like one of the characters from Clue. So you just had like the wildest colors throughout the entire night. And the timing matched up perfectly. It ended basically right as the ball was dropping to bring in the new year. So that was a really cool, unique experience. And then shortly after that, went on the first cruise in my life, actually. So went to it was a Bahamas-based cruise. So ended up going to the Bahamas, and I'm a history geek nerd for sure. So seeing in the history of where all of like a lot of my favorite Viking / pirate stories are Nassau and everything related to it. I didn't mean to say Viking. I just finished watching the show about Vikings, but pirate shows in particular. So it was cool just to have the experience. I'm apprehensive about water, period. Right. I'm not the guy you're going to see in water a lot. But it was a cool experience. And I recommend if you haven't taken time to yourself to just go do something somewhere else, not all the way remote, but relatively remote just to refresh, take that trip in this quarter, if you can, because I think it just resets a lot of perspective going into what will be hopefully a great year for everybody. You know what I mean?
Awesome. That's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing, man. And the encouragement out there too. I'm not the biggest fan of being on the water or in the water. I do love being at the water. I love seeing water. And I'm getting more used to being in the water too. I mean, but the water is beautiful, but it definitely has some trepidation for me too. I mean, it's water, right? Thanks again, Chris. Thanks again, Vince. Everybody have a wonderful day, wonderful rest of your week, whatever day of the week it is that you're listening to this on. Take it easy and talk soon. Bye, everybody.
The Cannabis Minority Report is a production of the National Cannabis Industry Association. Hosted by Mike Lomuto, directed by Vince Chandler. Our producers are Bethany Moore and Aaron Smith, and our executive producers are Vince Chandler and Mike Lomuto.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.